This is the multi-voice text-to-speech podfic reading of These Polar Twins by Synonymy, composed by Burning Aurora.
I don't want to go,
Sirius complained.
I am aware,
Remus said, voice slightly muffled behind the wardrobe door.
You already said.
There was the unpleasant scrape of metal on metal as he slid hangers across the railing.
You don't want to go,
Sirius pointed out.
Irrelevant. We promised Albus we would go. Therefore, we're going.
You promised. I didn't.
Remus sighed.
You don't want to go. Fine, stay in bed all day, lazy ass. I'll go by myself. Just stop whining.
I feel sick. I told you.
Right. Funny how you always seem to feel sick when there's something you don't want to do.
Sirius actually had felt sick this time, but he couldn't say that without admitting the other times were bullshit, so he said nothing. There was a crack in the ceiling, running from the corner all the way over the pillows of their bed. Sirius thought he would rather lay here and study that for 3 hours than endure the fundraiser at St. Mungo's. Remus kept reminding him it was for charity, as though that would neutralize all the other things that made it terrible. Those sorts of events always brought the slimiest characters out of the woodwork. People who had no business still walking around and rubbing elbows with the magical upper crust, pretending to care about a hospital they had been regularly sending people to, 3 years ago. Sirius had even crossed wands with some of them during the war. The idea of smarming around them now with champagne and pleasantries made him want to gag. But it was clearly important to Remus. And though Dumbledore and Sirius had had their differences, he couldn't deny he owed a great deal to the man. Without him, who knew where Sirius would be now? Or even more distressingly, where Harry might be.
I'll go,
Sirius said grumpily.
But I want it known that I am morally opposed to the whole thing.
Duly noted,
Remus huffed, still rifling in the wardrobe. He made a noise of triumph, emerging with Sirius's robe suit held aloft.
Found it. It's actually not as creased as I thought it would be.
Why would it be creased? It's just been hanging there for years.
You've worn it more recently than that. What about Andromeda's anniversary?
Oh yeah.
Sirius remembered, pulling a face.
I remember I had to get fucking wasted, just to cope with the lack of circulation to my limbs.
Remus hung the suit on the wardrobe door, then bent over to shift through their shoeboxes.
For someone who grew up pure blood, you're remarkably intolerant of formal occasions.
That's why I'm so intolerant. You try growing up being stuffed into that shit constantly. You'd hate it too.
I don't know, Remus said. I grew up being stuffed in a locked room once a month, but I don't have a phobia of doors.
You don't like locked doors?
Sirius pointed out. His eyes moved over the curve of Remus's back, following the flex of his shoulder blades under his jumper.
I wish I'd known you then.
Me too. Ah, here they are.
Remus straightened up with a box. He removed the lid, then frowned into it.
Hem, these need polishing.
I'm sure they're fine. Where's your stuff?
In the kitchen.
Sirius smirked.
Let me guess. Already ironed and polished.
Some of us take pride in our appearance,
Remus said dryly. Sirius snorted. If only that were true. Remus definitely deserved to feel as gorgeous as he was, and if it were up to Sirius, he would. Every minute of every day, Remus would be proud. Unfortunately, it wasn't up to Sirius, but that had never stopped him before. He'd reiterated as many times as needed for it to sink into Remus's pretty hazel head.
Fuck the pomp, Mooney. You don't need it. You would look good in a sack.
Remus shook his head, but he was smiling.
Unfortunately, the pomp is required, so we may as well do it right.
He kicked the side of the bed.
Go shower. I'll take care of this.
Sirius rolled his eyes, but he got out of bed. He took his time in the shower, enjoying the heat on his body and the steam fogging up his senses. He really hadn't felt good earlier. Remus had indulged him by letting him stay in bed until the last possible moment, but Sirius was still in no hurry to make the evening happen. When he came out of the bathroom, his robe suit was laid out neatly on the bed, with his freshly polished shoes on the floor beside it. Sirius couldn't help but smile at the sight, though it quickly became a grimace as he started getting dressed. The suit was made of fine silk and black and navy blue, Remus had said it brought out his eyes, whatever that meant. It was comprised of slim-fit trousers and a crisp collared shirt, cinched by a tapered waistcoat. The robe was worn over it all, tying into the waistcoat in such a way that it appeared to be one single piece of clothing. The whole thing was a stuffy, complicated array of buttons and fastenings, and Sirius hated that he could put it all together with ease, even now. Still, the prospect of helping Remus with his own suit cheered him slightly. Sirius had picked it out for him, as his price for agreeing to go to Madame Malkin's. It was similar in design to Sirius's, but instead made of tweed in a handsome tan color, with a forest green shirt and ornate, white gold fastenings. Remus had kicked up one hell of a fuss about the price, but as far as Sirius was concerned, it was one of the best things the Black family fortune had ever purchased. Even as someone who hated suits, he thought Remus looked amazing in it. Perhaps the event wouldn't be a total loss, after all. He sat on the end of the bed to tie his shoes, wrinkling his nose as the outfit clung and pinched in ways he was no longer accustomed to. Not since he became an honorary Potter at 16. He smiled sadly to himself as he recalled the joy of discovering Muggle clothing, trading band t-shirts with James. Then he had become an official Lupin at 23, and there was even less need for formal wear. Or anywhere at all, a lot of the time. Sirius's smile lost some of its sadness. Finally fully trussed, he went to the kitchen. It smelled of freshly brewed tea. There was a steaming cup on the counter next to where Remus was standing, waving his wand over something. His immaculate suit was hanging on the pantry door. As Sirius approached, he saw Remus was charming its various accessories.
"There was a stain,"
Remus explained at Sirius's bemused expression.
"On the pocket square, and the cufflinks were a little dull. I'm trying a catch-all cleaning charm, but if that doesn't work, I'll have to get more specific."
Sirius snorted.
"You are such a prefect."
"You bought me this suit,"
Remus said ruefully.
"The least I can do is keep it in good condition. Would you mind taking Harry to Molly's? I'm not sure how long this will take."
"Sure, whatever. Take your time. Hell, take all night."
Sirius snickered at Remus's reproachful look on his way out of the kitchen. Harry was sitting at his bedroom desk, working a crayon enthusiastically over a piece of paper. Sirius crept up to look over his shoulder, but Harry, spotting him, made an outraged noise and slammed his arms over it.
"Don't look."
"Why not?"
Sirius asked innocently.
"It's not finished yet."
"Or, go on. Just a peek."
Harry thought about it for a moment, then removed his arms. Sirius felt his face fall. Four people looked up at him from the paper, stood in a row with their hands linked, big cartoon smiles on their faces. Each had different hair. The first, long and red. The second, short, spiky black. The third had a scribble of brown, and the fourth a circle of black, with a smaller circle on top. It was crude as all children's drawings are, but there was no misinterpreting the people on the page as anyone other than Harry's family, past and present. Lily was even waving with her free hand, as she often did in the picture of her, and James they kept in the living room.
"Wow,"
Sirius said, trying his best to sound impressed.
"Is that us?"
Harry nodded proudly. He pointed to the fourth figure.
"That's you."
He pointed to the third.
"And that's Minnie."
He pointed to the other two.
"And that's Mummy and Daddy. They wanted to come live with us."
"They did they?"
"Yes."
Harry looked earnestly at Sirius.
"But don't worry. I know you said they can't, so it's just pretend."
Sirius swallowed thickly. He bent down to give Harry a hug. It ended up fiercer than he initially meant it to.
"I'm really sorry they can't, kiddo."
"That's okay,"
Harry said, sounding slightly confused. He laughed and started wriggling when Sirius didn't let up.
"Padfoot, Geroff."
Sirius reluctantly released him. He forced a smile onto his face.
"Well, I think it looks great so far. But you'll need to wait until later to finish it. It's time to take you to Auntie Molly's, now."
Harry pouted.
"But I still need to draw me. And the house."
"You can finish it later,"
Sirius repeated firmer.
"Come on, put your shoes on."
Harry grumbled, but he stood up and grabbed his trainers from the floor. Sirius had, mostly, accepted he didn't need to help Harry with everything now, but he didn't want to wait here with the drawing staring up at him, so he said,
"When you're ready, come and say goodbye to Mooney."
Remus was still fussing with the accessories when Sirius re-entered the kitchen. Sirius leant quietly in the doorway, a weight behind his ribs.
"Are you all right, love?"
Sirius's eyes snapped back into focus, finding Remus looking at him.
"Oh yeah, fine. Just, you know, not looking forward to this."
"I know, me neither, but it'll be over before we know it."
Remus smiled.
"There is one upside to it, though."
He looked Sirius up and down, and the hunger in his eyes was enough to make Sirius forget about Harry's drawing for the moment.
"Yeah. Like what you see."
Sirius held out his arms, turning in a languid circle. Remus nodded slowly.
"You look positively ravishing. You should do something with your hair, though."
Sirius tossed his damp hair haughtily over his shoulder.
"When I get back, I'll take Harry first, give it more time to dry. Reckon I'll tie it up in that fancy knot you like."
"That will look nice,"
Remus agreed.
"You should dress up more often."
"But that would make it harder for you to undress me. Especially since you're not so nimble with the fancy wear."
"Never underestimate my determination to get you naked."
Remus jumped when Harry suddenly ran into the kitchen.
"Mooney,"
Harry enthused, throwing himself against Remus's leg.
"I'm going now. Bye."
"Okay, Harry."
Remus awkwardly patted Harry's head, looking mortified.
"Goodbye, have a good time with Auntie Molly."
Sirius hid his laughter behind his hand.
"Go and wait by the flue, Sprog. I'll just be a second."
When Harry was gone, Remus put his wand down and leaned against the counter, running a hand over his face.
"Merlin, we are going to ruin that child."
"Relax. He didn't hear anything."
"I don't know. Are you sure we're cut out for this?"
Remus looked at him significantly. Sirius felt butterflies, remembering his heat was over a week late. He was trying not to make a thing of it, just yet. Not until he knew for sure. He wouldn't risk getting Remus's hopes up for no reason.
"Absolutely,"
he said.
"Parental extraordinaires, we are."
"Hem, if you say so."
"I do,"
Sirius said lamely.
"Anyway, I'll be back in a bit."
"All right, say hi to Molly for me."
In the living room, Harry was drifting around in front of the fireplace, scuffing at the edges of the rug with the toes of his trainers. Sirius grabbed his backpack from the hearth, pausing when his eyes caught the picture of James and Lily on the mantle. Lily waved at him. James winked. Sirius couldn't quite smile back at them. He hadn't felt this sad, simmering anger for a while. He really fucking hated these events. Sighing, he grabbed a handful of powder and herded Harry into the fireplace. After a whirl of color and sound, they landed in the burrow with a nauseating lurch. Sirius made sure to brush them down while they were still stood behind the grate. Harry had left ash scattered all over Molly's rug, last time. When he was satisfied, he helped Harry out of the fireplace. The small sitting room was empty, but the house was alive with the sound of people, voices and laughter echoing through the patchwork floors, thumps of footsteps shaking the rickety stairs. Sirius had always liked the Weasley residence. Perhaps because it was the antithesis of everything he remembered from his own childhood. It also reminded him of James's house, in some ways.
"Oh, Sirius. I thought I heard the flu."
Molly appeared from the kitchen, looking flustered but happy, rubbing her hands on her floral-patterned apron.
"Oh, don't you look nice. How are you?"
"Yeah, not too bad, thanks,"
Sirius said.
"Not looking forward to this thing, but what can you do? When Remus makes a promise."
He trailed off with a wry smile.
"He says hi, by the way."
"Well, say hello to him, too. Though we'll be seeing him soon, for Percy's lesson. And yes, I must admit, I'm not sorry to be staying home tonight. I'm sure Arthur will have a lot to complain about when he gets back."
"And you're sure you don't mind looking after one more?"
"Don't be silly. You know I love having him."
Molly smiled warmly at Harry where he was half hiding behind Sirius's leg.
"Hello, Harry dear. How are we, today?"
"Fine,"
Harry said shyly. Sirius huffed a laugh.
Don't let him fool you. He'll be demolishing your house the second I'm gone.
Just another day in the burrow, then,
Molly said airily. With perfect timing, there was the rapid thumping of feet in the hallway, and then the twins burst into the room. They were chasing something that appeared to be an enchanted paper airplane, which was flying in elaborate swerves and loops to avoid their clutching little hands. It zoomed past Sirius in a rush of golden sparkles, one of the twins, Fred maybe, in hot pursuit, while the other ran ahead, charging around his mother to meet it. That was smart, Sirius thought, trying to close in on it from both angles.
What the? How on earth do you manage that?
Molly yelled.
Boys,
go that way.
One twin, George, urged his brother as the plane swooped out of reach again.
I'll sneak up on it.
Yes, almost got it.
The room quickly descended into chaos. Sirius stifled a laugh as the twins ran laps around them, even as Molly turned increasingly redder with ignored protests. Harry was giggling too, his grip on Sirius's trousers loosening. He took a step forward at the wrong moment, into the path of a charging twin. Sirius realized a beat too late. He made a grab for Harry, but he was already tumbling forwards, hitting the ground with a horribly loud thud. Molly shouted something, but all Sirius heard was Harry's yelp. It felt like being kicked in the gut. He rushed blindly to Harry's side. He was face down on the ground, frozen, like he was still processing what had happened.
Harry,
Sirius said urgently.
Hey, are you okay?
Harry gingerly pushed himself up.
Oh, that hurt.
All right. Tell me where it hurts.
My hands.
Sirius helped ease Harry up until he was sitting. He wasn't crying, but he was frowning and upset. They both looked at his palms. They were red from breaking his fall, but the skin wasn't broken. Sirius exhaled heavily.
You're okay.
The relief felt excessive, even to him. As did the sudden anger.
What are you playing at?
He snapped at the nearest twin, feeling instantly awful when his face crumbled.
Oh my god, I'm so sorry, Sirius.
Molly was saying frantically.
Is he all right?
He's fine.
Sirius said tightly. He shook his head, trying to calm down. He knew he was being ridiculous. Accidents happened. It was just kids being kids. He tried to soften his expression before turning back to the scolded brother.
I'm sorry I snapped at you.
Don't worry about it, Sirius. Maybe now he'll learn.
Molly said tiredly.
Boys, go upstairs. And no more nonsense tonight, so help me.
Looking contrite, the brothers started filing out of the room, but they paused by the doorway. They said, almost at the same time,
Sorry, Harry.
That's okay,
Harry said.
I like your plane.
The twins brightened at that. The one serious thought was Fred said,
If you find it, you can keep it.
If we find it, it's going in the bin,
Molly said firmly. With the twins gone, Sirius helped Harry to his feet. Molly made towards him, but Sirius automatically stepped back, pulling Harry protectively against his side. They both stilled, wearing equally surprised expressions.
God, I'm sorry,
Sirius said, embarrassed now.
I don't know what's up with me, today.
Molly looked at him for a moment, her kind eyes narrowed and searching. She smiled suddenly.
I think I might know.
What?
She held up a finger.
Harry, dear, would you like to go and play with Ron and Ginny? They're just in the other room.
Harry nodded eagerly. Molly held out a hand to him. It took some effort for Sirius to surrender him to her. He still felt antsy watching her take him down the hallway.
See you later, Sprog,
he called.
I'll be back to pick you up in a few hours.
Harry offered a distracted wave over his shoulder. The second he was out of sight, Sirius felt the loss of him. He paced in front of the fireplace until Molly returned. She smiled that knowing smile again when she saw him.
All right. Come here, you.
She held out her arms. Sirius was confused, but he let her pull him into a hug. It actually helped him feel slightly better. Molly was soft and warm and lovely, and her scent was neutral and calming.
Yep, there it is. Oh, Sirius dear.
What?
Sirius repeated, quieter, because he was beginning to suspect where this was going, and his stomach was coiling with anticipation and nerves. When they pulled apart, Molly's beaming face confirmed it for him. She nodded at whatever expression was on Sirius's face.
You already knew.
Suspected?
Sirius said weakly.
How could you tell?
I should think I know how to recognize that protective Omega instinct, having experienced it so many times myself.
She said, chuckling.
But either way, there's no mistaking that scent. Does Remus know?
Not yet.
Sirius felt dazed.
Not sure how he didn't, to be honest. If you did.
It's because it's early days.
She explained.
We have a kinship that lets us recognize it sooner. Arthur is always one of the last to know, with me.
Huh.
Sirius could tell when someone was pregnant, obviously. But he was baffled as to whatever instinct Molly was describing.
I guess I have a lot to learn about this stuff.
You will. I'll be here to help too, of course. Anyway, congratulations. This is wonderful news. Another one in the fold. Oh, Harry's going to have a little brother or sister.
Yeah.
Sirius could feel himself grinning, cheeks warm. Her excitement was infectious. He was suddenly desperate to get home.
Well, I better.
She nodded with understanding, then hugged him again.
I'll keep it to myself for now.
Thank you, Molly.
Sirius said, squeezing her.
And thanks for having Harry. I should be back by 10.
Like always, the flu made nausea stir in Sirius's stomach, but it took longer than usual to dissipate as he stepped out into the living room. Remus was no longer in the kitchen, and neither was his robe suit, nor accompanying accessories, so Sirius headed for the bedroom. When he stepped through the door, the sight of Remus stole his breath.
Oh, fuck me.
Hi,
Remus said, not looking away from the mirror.
I'm nearly done.
He was fully and meticulously dressed in the suit, from flowing robe to shiny shoes. The expensive tweed hugged his tall, slim figure perfectly, emphasizing his broad shoulders and narrow waist. The color matched his hair, which Remus was currently slicking back with pomade, wrinkling his nose in distaste. With the beard, he looked almost irresistibly masculine. Smart, powerful. Fucking incredible. Sirius stepped slowly into the room, not even trying to hide his leering. He gestured to the suit.
You managed, then.
Remus met his eyes in the mirror.
I told you not to underestimate me.
I never do, Mooney.
Sirius stepped close behind Remus, until he could see the wisps of fine, light hair curled on the nape of his neck.
You're a force of fucking nature. I'm always telling you.
Hem, like English weather. A light drizzle, perhaps.
Remus chuckled to himself.
How's Molly?
Good.
Sirius took a breath.
She had an interesting theory, actually.
Oh.
Remus's attention was back on his hair.
She seems to think I'm carrying your child.
Remus stilled. After a beat, he whirled around, eyes wide.
She said that.
Sirius grinned at the burgeoning excitement on Remus's face.
Yeah. Apparently there's this thing, like, Omega intuition. Supposedly we can tell sooner than anybody else. First I've heard of it.
Wait, what? You did know that, didn't you?
Sirius blinked at him.
No.
Seriously, you knew Lily was pregnant before James did.
I did.
Remus spluttered with laughter, pulling Sirius into a hug.
Oh, love, Sirius.
Shut the fuck up.
Sirius huffed, but he was laughing too. He wound his arms around Remus, melting eagerly into his solid warmth. He confessed into Remus's chest.
I also might have acted like a bit of an overprotective prat.
You did?
Yeah. The twins were mucking about, and Harry got knocked over. He was totally fine. But I just sort of lost it.
You did,
Remus repeated, sounding almost odd. He pressed a kiss into Sirius's hair, squeezing him so tight Sirius had to struggle for his breath.
Merlin, I love you.
I love you too.
Sirius replied, suddenly a little choked up.
Fucking hell, Mooney. We actually did it. You knocked me up.
Do you have to phrase it that way?
Remus grumbled. There was a pause.
But yes, it appears I did.
Sirius laughed, feeling borderline giddy. He rose up on his toes so he could tuck his face into the curve of Remus's shoulder. He inhaled deeply, pulling in Remus's wonderful scent until his head felt thick with it. Remus mirrored him, his breath warm against Sirius's neck. Sirius's heart raced pleasantly as they scented each other.
No, I can't tell, yet,
Remus murmured. Sirius wondered when Remus would be able to tell, and what effect it might have on him.
He's only a week late.
You knew.
I wanted to be sure before I told you. It's been dodgy before.
Remus hummed. His hands slid slowly down Sirius's back, until they spread over his hips.
I don't like that someone else can tell, when I can't.
You are not jealous of Molly.
Maybe I am,
Remus said, but Sirius could hear the amusement in his voice.
You're so gorgeous everybody wants you. I can't rule out anyone as a potential threat.
Sirius smirked, nosing under Remus's ear.
True. But it's not like she's another alpha. They're the only ones who could really take me from you.
Remus tensed.
I believe you're trying to bait me, darling.
I mean, I was. You kinda just took the fun out of it.
Sirius gasped as Remus grabbed his arse with both hands, yanking their hips flush together.
No one is taking you from me.
Remus mouthed at Sirius's neck, then scraped his teeth over the skin, edging towards his scar.
I don't care who or what they are.
Sirius's breath quickened as arousal swelled abruptly inside him, kicking up his heartbeat and stiffening his cock. He tilted his head back, willing and eager for Remus's bite, but Remus only continued mouthing at him.
You're mated to me,
Remus said lowly, lips moving against Sirius's skin, tickling him with his scruff.
You're growing my child inside of you. You're mine, both of you. If someone saw fit to threaten that. Honestly, I couldn't be held responsible for my actions.
Merlin.
Remus didn't usually talk like this outside of the moon and Sirius's heats. It was so fucking hot, Sirius almost felt like he was in heat. He could feel himself growing wet with almost alarming speed. If just knowing Sirius was pregnant got Remus like this, Sirius was even more eager for when he could smell it on him, too.
Is that what you wanted to hear, love?
Yes.
Sirius admitted, hushed. He took Remus's head in his hands, urging his mouth harder against the scar.
I am so fucking yours. Bite me.
No, we're running late. This is all you get.
Remus sucked on the mark instead, until Sirius's skin was tingling and he was dizzy with want, suddenly too hot in his stupid suit, hating every single constricting inch of it. He started pulling at it, fumbling to get the robe undone, but Remus stilled his hands. Sirius growled.
Fuck the party, Mooney. No, fuck me instead.
He tried going for Remus's belt, but Remus snatched up his wrists, holding one in each hand.
I said no,
Remus said, irritatingly calm.
You can wait for it.
I can't,
Sirius said, bordering on a whine. He was leaning towards Remus as though being magnetically pulled there.
I need you now. Need to feel you inside me.
Remus pushed him back, putting space between their bodies, and Sirius had to bite down a very padfoot-like urge to snarl. Remus's cheeks were pink and his eyes were intent. Sirius knew he was hard too, could feel how badly Remus wanted him, and yet he wasn't taking him. Sirius couldn't even fathom where he found the willpower.
If you're good,
Remus said slowly,
and you get through this fundraiser without causing a ruckus, I'll make it worth your while.
A ruckus?
Sirius couldn't help repeating.
How?
The corner of Remus's mouth twitched up.
I'll spread you out on that bed behind you and give you my tongue. I'll taste you where you're wet and eager and gorgeous, until you're opening up for me. Until you're crying for me to make love to you.
Sirius swallowed hard.
And will you?
Oh, you'll get your wish,
Remus assured him.
You will feel me inside you. Then, and for some time afterwards, I expect.
God, Mooney.
Sirius breathed.
You have the filthiest fucking mouth I've ever heard.
Do we have a deal?
Remus asked, and he was openly teasing Sirius now, not even trying to hide his smile.
Bastard.
Sirius said, half serious, half fond. He exhaled in a huff.
Fine. But you better deliver.
I am a man of my word,
Remus promised. He released Sirius's wrists, leaving his empty palms hovering there for a moment, as though daring Sirius to make another grab for him. Sirius was definitely tempted, but he forced himself to step back.
Best get my hair done, then.
Remus nodded, brusquely straightening his robes.
I'll wait in the living room.
It was easier to breathe without Remus's presence, though it made Sirius bizarrely more aware of his erection and the slick in his pants. He palmed himself absently, wondering if he should risk changing. He wasn't sure he was strong enough to resist sneakily bringing himself off in the bathroom. In the end, he just charmed himself clean. The promised reward was both a reassurance and a frustration. Sirius had never been patient, nor much good at delaying gratification, but maybe having something nice to concentrate on would help him get through this evening. He took Remus's place in front of the mirror, snorting at his own obviously aroused expression. It seemed humorously out of place with the rest of his appearance. Not that any part of the suit felt in place. Sirius didn't look like himself out of his casual muggle clothes. At least not any version of himself that he liked. If he squinted, he was a teenager again, waiting for his parents in Grimald's Hall before some insufferable family event. He smirked, imagining what they might say if they could see him now, hard and shamelessly desperate for his half-blood, werewolf mate. Pregnant by his half-blood, werewolf mate. The smirk became a smile. He did his hair as neatly as he could, tying it much higher and tighter than he would day-to-day, borrowing a little of Remus's pomade to slick down any flyaway strands. By the time he was done, his cock had calmed down, and he looked even more like a pompous pure blood. He pulled a face at himself before leaving the bedroom. Remus was sitting casually on the sofa, one lanky leg crossed over the other, reading a book. He barely spared Sirius a glance as he entered the room.
Ready?
Busted.
Sirius repeated. He grabbed a handful of powder and climbed into the fireplace.
Yeah, I'm ready. Let's get this shit over with.
Smiling indulgently, Remus marked his place in his book and set it aside. He joined Sirius behind the grate, their elbows brushing. Just their close proximity in that cramped space had Sirius poised to become hot and bothered again. It was ridiculous, really, how easily Remus still got under his skin. However, things quickly turned sour when they stepped out into St. Mungo's lobby. Sirius had only been here a couple of times, but it was enough for its transformation to leave an impression on him. What was normally a rather sterile and uninviting place was now sleek and classy, decorated lavishly in the colors of the hospital crest. It seemed larger and emptier than Sirius remembered. There was no reception desk, no waiting area, instead a large, tiered fountain that bubbled with teal water and eked classical music into the air. Sirius wondered where the healers were sending the deformed victims of magical accidents while this was going on. The room was also full of people dressed to the nines, milling around and talking in groups. Sirius felt his lip curl as his eyes scanned over them. As expected, there were more than a few faces he wouldn't mind rearranging. Sirius had escaped Azkaban by the skin of his teeth. The shadow of it still hung over him, yet known Death Eaters mingled here without a care in the world. Worms, the lot of them. Wriggling their way out of justice.
Fucking scum.
Sirius growled under his breath.
They've got some bloody nerve. Swanning around here, pretending to give a shit about. Frank and Alice are upstairs, for fuck's sake.
Sirius, calm down.
Remus's palm was on the small of his back, steering him away from the flu and into a quiet corner.
I don't like it any more than you do, but there's nothing we can do about it.
Sirius's mind was flooded with vicious, bloody ways they could do something about it. Out of that carnage came the image of Harry's drawing, and Sirius had to clench his teeth to keep his rage and grief contained.
But, Harry, James and Lily, these fucking people.
Remus took him firmly by the biceps.
I know, love, believe me, I know. We're not here for them, all right. We're here to support the hospital. Just keep telling yourself that.
Sirius shook his head.
Mooney, I'm here for you. This Warlocks can go hang itself.
So be here for me.
Remus said simply.
Forget all this nonsense. It doesn't matter. The war is over. We're moving on, right? At least, that's what you had me believe. That's why we...
He trailed off meaningfully, eyes lowering to Sirius's stomach, which fluttered in response. Sirius took a deep breath, heartbeat calming slightly as he caught Remus's scent.
Yeah. No, you're right. You are. It just gets to me, sometimes.
I know, me too. We'll only stay long enough to consider the obligation satisfied, all right. We'll make a donation, maybe exchange a few pleasantries with the decent people here, and then we're away.
All right. I think I can handle that.
Of course you can.
Remus lowered his voice.
Don't forget there's a reward waiting for you too, if you need more incentive.
That does help, yeah.
Remus smiled.
Why don't I get started on the donation part, while you go and get us, I mean, me, a drink?
The realization Sirius had to face the evening, and 9 months after that, completely sober, did not bode well.
If only Mooney had waited to knock me up until after this fundraiser.
He thought wryly.
All right. I'll come find you.
The far end of the room was dedicated to serving drinks and hors d'oeuvres. The man currently at the bar cleared off as Sirius approached. He saw a blonde-headed man closing in and hurried to reach the bartender before him, cutting him off just in time.
Ogden's. Neat.
Sirius said. Maybe if he got Remus drunk, he'd agree to leave earlier. The bartender looked at him blankly.
We have champagne or elderflower wine.
The fuck kind of party is this?
Well, it's for charity, sir.
Sirius huffed.
The wine, then.
He had a vague recollection that Remus liked it.
2 glasses.
Nah, none for me.
There was a scoff from behind him.
Still as uncultured as ever, Black.
Sirius cringed with realization. He turned around slowly, a sneer already in place. Lucius Malfoy had a decent one of his own, of course. But if there was one thing Sirius had held onto from his upbringing, it was the ability to match smarmy gits like him at their own game.
It's Lupin, actually.
Sirius said coolly.
I threw the name Black out with the rest of the rubbish, 3 years ago.
Lucius was dressed in pure black robes, a sharp contrast to his long, silvery hair, which was loose and slicked back from his face.
Ah, yes.
He said, icy blue eyes lingering on the scar on Sirius's neck.
Forgive me, I had forgotten you made your bed with a beast. What's that like, by the way?
Sirius grit his teeth.
You should know.
Lucius tutted.
That isn't a very charitable way to talk about your cousin.
I didn't mean her. I just assumed your lord had bent you over, at some point.
Lucius's expression tightened with anger.
Still haven't learned to keep your uncouth mouth shut, I see. I'm surprised. I thought the werewolf would have broken you in better than that. I've heard they treat their mates like feral animals. Makes sense, I suppose. If you're half of one yourself.
Sirius sucked a breath, hand inching automatically towards his wand. He managed to stop himself at the last second. He was pretty sure that would constitute causing a ruckus. He thought of Remus, and managed to steel himself.
As usual, Malfoy,
Sirius said, voice surprisingly level.
You have no fucking idea what you're talking about. Now piss off, would you? You're polluting my air with your drivel.
He turned back to the bar, rather proud of himself. That was almost a Remus-level snub, he thought. The bartender was looking at him warily, but he gave him the wine. Sirius nodded his thanks and stepped aside, scanning the room for Remus.
Not drinking, are we?
Sirius whirled around, almost spilling the wine. Lucius was right behind him, close enough to scent him. Close enough Sirius could suddenly smell him too, the deeply unsettling tang of an agitated, unfamiliar alpha. Sirius took a hasty step backwards, stuttering.
Get the fuck away from me.
Lucius smirked.
Well now, isn't that interesting? I remember you always liked a drink. Perhaps the wine isn't fine enough for your taste.
Sirius stared at him, jaw clenched.
No, that's not it. You live willingly in the gutter with half-breeds and blood traitors, so I can't imagine you're very fussy. So, what is it? Wait, don't tell me. I know, The beast bred you, and you don't wish to deform the offspring any more than it already will be. Therefore, no mediocre wine for you.
Something must have shone on Sirius's face, because Lucius's eyes flared with triumph.
Oh, yes, that's it.
Sirius opted for defiance, since he knew denial was pointless in the long term.
The fuck do you care?
I think the more pressing question is, will the ministry care?
Sirius stilled.
What?
Lucius's smirk grew.
Well, it's a matter of public safety. Dark creatures breeding unchecked, just asking for trouble.
He's not. There's no law.
No, not officially.
Lucius said regretfully.
Not yet, anyway. I wouldn't count on it staying that way. Not so long as I have any say in it.
Again, the fuck do you care?
Sirius snapped, trying not to let his worry show on his face.
Every wizard of purity should care about ensuring the survival of our race.
Lucius said.
It should be illegal for someone like you to sink so low. I didn't think you could disgrace your blood any further, but really, allowing yourself to be mounted by an animal.
Lucius stepped close again, assaulting Sirius's senses with his pungent scent. Sirius was reeling, too stunned and angry to react as Lucius leaned in. His nostrils flared, and he raised an eyebrow.
Hem, early, is it? Perhaps there is still hope for you, then. There's still time to correct things. You know, if you ever did come to your senses, I'm sure we could still find you an appropriate pure blood match, pretty little omega like you.
Go fuck yourself, you death-eater cunt.
Sirius spat. Rage was a white-hot ball behind his ribs. His fists were clenched and shaking.
Keep talking, and I swear.
I mean, surely the one disfigured child you already have is enough.
Lucius sneered.
Or perhaps you aspire to create an entire family of freaks.
Sirius lunged at him. He didn't even try to go for his wand. He was going to kill Lucius with his bare hands, and it would be all the more satisfying for it. He vaguely registered the glass shattering on the floor, the wine splattering over his trousers, but all he could focus on was the fight of his fingers to wrap around Lucius's throat. Lucius yelled in outrage as they went stumbling backwards, hands scrabbling at Sirius's wrists in attempt to break free. They almost tumbled over as they wrestled with each other, until Lucius's foot struck out at Sirius's shin. The sharp jolt of pain made him falter, and Lucius seized the chance to grab him by the knot of his hair, yanking his head back so hard Sirius felt strands of it rip from his scalp. He hissed, losing his grip on Lucius's neck. He tried to lunge again, but Lucius had control of his head now, and he used it to pull Sirius off him completely. Sirius snarled in absolute lividity as Lucius shoved him to his knees.
There we go,
Lucius jeered, breathless.
That's where you belong. Traitorous whores should know there.
The pressure on Sirius's scalp released suddenly as Lucius was thrown from him, and Sirius knew immediately that it was Remus, even before he registered the flash of tan robes and long legs. There was a loud crash of tinkling glass and bottles knocking together as Lucius slammed into the bar, Remus pinning him there by his throat, almost bending him flat on top of it. Sirius scrambled to his feet. Lucius was flailing to get free, scrabbling and kicking at any part of Remus he could reach, but Remus didn't even seem to notice the blows glancing off him. He loomed over Lucius like a predator poised to tear him open, pressing harder against his throat until Lucius fell still, gagging for breath. Sirius thought wildly that Remus was doing a much better job of this than he had managed. But then Remus had the advantage of height, as well as his covert lycan strength. He was also wearing an expression of focused, murderous fury. Sirius had never seen Remus look anything like that before, even in the heat of a duel, or minutes from the moon. There wasn't a single trace left of the kind, gentle man who played muggle board games with Harry and brought Sirius coffee every morning. It was unnerving to witness, yet also dangerously captivating. Looking at him, Sirius felt a sickly sort of heat stirring in his gut, an unexpected pulse of wetness, making him flush.
Don't touch him,
Remus told Lucius with deadly clarity.
Don't you ever touch him.
Lucius tried to say something, but all that came out was a strangled gurgle. His face was starting to turn blue, eyes bulging in his skull, fine hair in complete disarray. Sirius relished the sight of the eternally composed Malfoy reduced to such a pitiful mess. It was with deep regret that he placed a hand on Remus's shoulder. Sirius would happily let him continue until the choking reached its natural conclusion, but then Remus would be in serious trouble, and Sirius wasn't prepared to lose his mate over the likes of Lucius Malfoy. Remus flinched, whirling around to look at him. Sirius's breath caught. For a moment, it seemed like Remus didn't even recognize him.
Mooney. Hey, it's all right. You can stop now. I think he gets the message.
Remus blinked at him, recognition dawning. He looked back at Lucius, sneered, and released him with a disgusted little shove. Lucius sagged to the floor, clutching at his throat as he gasped for air. The next thing Sirius knew, his head was cradled tightly in Remus's hands, and Remus's wild amber eyes were inches from his own.
Are you all right? Did he hurt you?
A palm cupped Sirius's face, the other pressing flat against his stomach.
Sirius, please tell me you're...
I'm all right.
Sirius reassured him, voice made shaky by Remus's desperation and frantic touches.
Remus, I'm all right. I promise.
Remus growled low in his throat. He pulled Sirius's head back, burying his face in his scar. Sirius didn't try to stop him, because he could tell how badly Remus needed it, but he couldn't help but squirm at being scented so openly. He was also rapidly becoming aware of the hush that had fallen over the room, as well as all the eyes on them.
You're okay,
Remus concluded, exhaling hard and relieved under Sirius's ear.
You are.
Lucius finally found his voice, hoarse and seething.
I'll have your fucking head for this. How dare you, putting your filthy hands on me, disgusting, half-breed.
He fumbled for his wand, but before Sirius could react, a disarming spell was shouted behind them, and the wand went flying over them. Sirius turned to see a woman catch it in midair. He could tell by her uniform she was one of the senior healers.
That is enough,
she said. She took hold of Remus and Sirius by their wrists, tugging them away from Lucius like they were naughty schoolchildren.
You are in a hospital. This is an event for charity. Please, have some respect.
Remus appeared to get a hold of himself.
God, yes, of course. I'm terribly sorry. We'll leave.
I think that would be best.
She agreed. She stilled suddenly, then leaned further towards Sirius. Understanding dawned on her face.
Okay, that makes sense.
She addressed Remus.
Yeah, you need to take him home. And preferably ensure he takes it easy from now on. Starting balls like that is really not conducive to a healthy pregnancy.
Sirius startled, first from recognizing a fellow Omega, then from realizing the implication of her words.
Oh. Shit.
Remus looked sharply at Sirius.
You started it.
No. Well, yeah, but...
I'm afraid he did. But don't worry,
the healer said kindly.
From what I can tell, the fetus is fine. I just recommend avoiding any repeat performances if you want it to stay that way.
They're not going anywhere.
Lucius hauled himself to his feet, leaning heavily against the bar.
That thing assaulted me. I want it locked up.
You were harassing his mate.
The bartender suddenly piped up.
I saw it all. He was just defending him.
Stay out of this, boy.
Lucius snapped, pointing wildly.
I want someone here now to arrest this fucking animal.
Sir, please calm down,
the healer said, in a tone of voice that suggested she dealt with this sort of thing all the time.
I hardly think it's worth calling the Auras in over an alpha scrap. It's over. They're leaving. Please, go back and enjoy the party.
It almost killed me.
You seem fine now,
she said flatly.
I'll have one of my colleagues check you over, but from what I can tell, there's no real harm done.
No harm done.
Lucius almost shrieked.
No harm.
Have a safe journey home,
the healer told Sirius and Remus. Remus nodded gratefully.
Thank you for being so understanding. I apologize for the disruption, again.
He took Sirius by the arm and steered them towards the flue, leaving Lucius's furious protests and threats behind. A sea of looks and murmurs followed them, but Remus kept his eyes straight ahead. He didn't look at or speak to Sirius as they walked. Sirius's stomach churned unpleasantly. The silence back at the house was deafening. After all that noise and adrenaline, the abrupt stillness was surreal. It felt like they'd been gone for hours, instead of the minutes it likely was. Remus climbed out of the fireplace and headed immediately for their bedroom. Sirius hesitated before following. He hovered near the doorway while Remus sat on the bed to take off his shoes, then set to removing his suit, all while still not looking at Sirius. His face was blank in a way that made Sirius wince.
Mooney,
he finally broke.
Come on. You know I can't handle the silent treatment.
What would you like me to say?
Remus asked flatly, undoing the complicated fastenings of his robe with minimal effort. It was a feat Sirius would normally have been impressed by, but right now, it only reminded him of all of Remus's wasted efforts for the evening.
Whatever horrible names you want to call me right now,
Sirius said grimly.
Rather we just get it over with.
Remus sighed. He hung the robe, then finally looked at him.
I don't want to call you names, Sirius. I'm just upset and confused, quite frankly. I thought we agreed to get through the evening without any drama. You seemed okay when you went to the bar, so what the hell happened in those 5 minutes I was gone?
Lucius fucking Malfoy happened,
Sirius said bitterly.
What's confusing about that? You know him. You know what he's like.
So he insulted you, said some hurtful things, that really justified throwing yourself at him like a reckless fool. That was worth putting our child at risk for.
Sirius looked at the ground.
I didn't think about that at the time. I just lost it.
Remus turned away, began unbuttoning his waistcoat.
That's your problem, Padfoot. You don't think, you just do.
Sirius flinched. Shame was bubbling in his chest, but so was anger.
You didn't hear the vile shit he was saying. It wasn't just
words,
Remus snapped, pulling off the waistcoat with uncharacteristic carelessness.
Meaningless words. I don't doubt Lucius worked very hard to provoke you, but
he insulted Harry. Remus.
Remus went still.
What?
Sirius took a bracing breath.
He figured out I was pregnant. When he saw I wasn't drinking. First thing he did was threaten to tell the ministry.
Tell them what? We're not breaking any laws.
That's what I said. But then he said there might be one soon, if he had anything to do with it.
Remus's lip curled.
Sounds like his typical bluster, to me. If Lucius had that much influence over ministry law, I'd already be locked away.
Sirius shrugged helplessly.
Well, after that it was the pure blood bullshit. Basically said I was betraying the race by breeding with an animal. Then he said I should.
He grit his teeth.
Get rid of it, so some pure blood twat could knock me up instead.
Remus looked stricken, disgusted. Sirius continued.
When I warned him to shut his fucking mouth, he said, surely one disfigured child is enough.
He had to take a moment then.
He called him a freak, Remus. Can you believe that? Just an innocent little boy. As if it isn't enough their fucking lord killed his parents.
Evil,
Remus breathed.
Venomous, evil bastard.
Sirius's eyes stung for a second. It was rare to hear Remus swear, and even rarer to hear him outright insult somebody.
I didn't want to fight him. I tried to walk away. I swear I did. He wouldn't let me. Prick fucking snuck up behind me.
Remus's eyes widened.
Did he touch you?
No. He scented me, though.
Remus crossed the room in two strides, until he was right beside Sirius in the doorway.
You didn't tell me that.
You didn't give me the chance.
Sirius grumbled, eyes on Remus's socks. They were the same shade of green as his shirt. Remus hovered for a long time. Sirius could see his toes and fingers twitching, feel the tension emanating from him.
I'm sorry,
he said finally, quiet. Sirius leant back against the doorframe, looking up at him. Remus's eyes were softer now, remorseful. Sirius exhaled some of the pain from his chest.
It's all right. I know it still doesn't excuse what I did.
Remus shook his head.
What he said was beyond. I'm not sure I'd have reacted any differently.
You're not up the duff,
Sirius couldn't help but smile when Remus grimaced at his terminology.
Still, I understand why you lost control.
Remus sighed as he leant against the other side of the frame, so they were stood in the doorway together. Sirius could smell him now. He barely resisted the urge to sag forwards into his arms.
Honestly, I'm just as much to blame for making you go in the first place. I was just asking for trouble, putting you in that situation.
You didn't make me go. I could have said no.
But I knew you wouldn't. I knew you wouldn't want to let me down. I forced you to come with me knowing how much it was bothering you. Even when you got upset after we arrived, I still convinced you to stay.
You can't take the blame for what I did.
Sirius said firmly.
I shouldn't have let him get to me. I was an irresponsible prat. I didn't even remember that I'm...
He cut himself off with a pained breath, the full gravity of it suddenly falling on him. He could have extinguished the life inside of him almost immediately after finding out it existed, before it even had the chance to grow a heartbeat. All for the sake of making Lucius Malfoy shut his worthless mouth. Sirius felt sick.
I did let you down.
Remus looked at him sadly. He took hold of Sirius's hands.
Maybe we let each other down. We didn't really stop to think about it, did we? How big this is. How everything has suddenly changed.
No.
Sirius agreed. He had just been happy. And horny, as he eternally was around Remus. He felt unbearably naive, now.
I get it now, though. Fuck me, do I get it? I'm so sorry, Mooney. I swear I'll never do anything that stupid again.
Never might be slightly ambitious, for you.
Remus said, and Sirius's laugh was startled out of him, breathless and cathartic. It was amazing how Remus could just do that, pull him back from any brink. It sometimes felt like he had a better handle on Sirius's emotions than Sirius himself did.
I'm sorry, too.
Sirius pulled Remus into a hug, sighing with the relief of it.
Things will be different now. I don't ever want to feel this guilty again. I'm gonna be so fucking responsible with this kid, you'll see.
I'm glad to hear it, love. You need to take care of yourself. And if you can't, you need to let me do it for you.
Like you did tonight.
Sirius said without thinking. Remus was quiet for a moment, before huffing a laugh.
Merlin, I don't actually have any right to judge you, do I, after that performance?
Sirius thought of how easily Remus had thrown Lucius off him. The look on his face as he choked him against the bar. That strange heat fluttered inside him again.
You would have killed him. If I hadn't stopped you.
Remus drew a slow breath.
I think so. When I saw you, on your knees, his hand in your hair, it was like I always thought it would be. Something snapped inside me. All I could think was that I wanted him dead.
His hands were rubbing restless circles over Sirius's back.
I should probably be ashamed of myself.
No. He deserved it.
He did, but I still shouldn't feel good about almost killing a man.
The again was heavy in the air. Thankfully, it went unvoiced.
At the very least, I should be concerned about the fact it was so public. I've been called an animal by those people my entire life. Acting like that will have made them feel extremely validated in that opinion.
Remus squeezed him tighter.
And yet, I don't care. For the first time, I'm not sorry to be an animal. He was hurting you. I'd do it again.
Sirius had been listening intently, face pressed into the curve of Remus's neck, letting his deep voice and perfect scent wash over him. But Sirius's hackles raised, as they always did, at the first hint of Remus demonizing himself.
It has nothing to do with the wolf, Mooney. We're mated, we just found out I'm fucking pregnant, and some prick was putting his hands all over me. Anyone would have lost it.
Maybe.
Definitely.
Sirius insisted.
You didn't act like an animal. You just acted like an alpha. And honestly.
He said it before he could stop himself.
It was kinda hot.
Remus's hand stilled on his back. Sirius flushed, but it was out there now, so he continued.
Fuck it, more than kinda. You were bloody stunning. I couldn't take my eyes off you.
Is that right?
Remus said, something in his voice.
You do like me defending you, don't you?
I like everything about who you are.
But you particularly like it when I'm protective. Right, love. That's why you never took your suppressants, isn't it?
Sirius flushed harder. He didn't think Remus knew.
Mostly, yeah. Before I wanted you to breed me, anyway.
Remus hummed in a way Sirius couldn't quite gauge, but he felt thoroughly outed. He froze when Remus pulled back and began unfastening his robe, pulse spiking nervously, but Remus's expression was neutral, eyes on his own hands. Sirius looked down too. He had always liked Remus's hands. His long, slender fingers, strong and delicate at once. The way they looked shaping around things. Wand, quill, teacup. Sirius's body. A man's throat. Sirius swallowed.
When did you learn to do this?
I practiced while you were in bed earlier.
Sirius couldn't help but find that delightful, even as he pouted.
I wanted to do it for you.
That's precisely why I practiced.
The robe came loose. Remus threw it onto the bed, then began unbuttoning Sirius's waistcoat.
If you recall, you made us late the last time I let you help.
Sure, I recall that. Recall you not being that upset about it, too.
I got to make love to the most beautiful man alive,
Remus said plainly.
How upset can one be? Even if he did make me knot him on the sofa.
Sirius looked back at Remus's face, finding Remus already watching him, soft and open and wanting. Openly wanting, letting Sirius see exactly how desired he was, how loved. Up close like this, Sirius could see the flecks of rich brown speckled in his golden irises. The tiny valleys of skin that scar had made across his cheek and the bridge of his nose. That unique little dip in the center of his top lip. Sirius couldn't see a single thing he didn't like.
So,
he said, voice thin.
I guess I don't get my reward. Since, you know, I definitely caused a
ruckus,
Remus supplied.
It's true, you did.
He pushed Sirius's waistcoat from his shoulders and tossed it on top of the robe. He wasn't being careful now, Sirius noticed. He had a moment to feel disappointed, before Remus smiled.
But then, so did I. It would make me a hypocrite if I didn't keep my word, I think.
He started unbuttoning Sirius's shirt. Excitement swelled. Sirius made a grab for him, but Remus pushed him quickly back against the doorframe.
Say, put your hands behind you.
His low, commanding tone managed to overrule Sirius's urge to rebel. He reluctantly grasped the doorframe behind him. He shivered when Remus pulled his shirt open, first from being exposed to the air, then from Remus touching his bare skin with those nimble fingers. They stroked lightly around the curves of his pecs, his ribs, tracing the lines of his tattoos. He avoided Sirius's nipples, which were stiff, though not because he was cold. His blood was running hot, hotter with every second he stood still, trying not to touch, not to tremble with anticipation for what Remus had promised him earlier. He thought of Remus's tongue and felt his whole clenching, starting to grow wet and sensitive. His cock was already hard, creating another undignified bulge in his fine silk trousers. He could see Remus eyeing it.
What did you feel?
Remus asked quietly.
While you were watching me choke him.
It took Sirius a moment to catch up.
I guess. Shock, at first. Then.
He faltered, unsure what to call it. Remus leaned close.
Did it make you wet, love?
Yeah.
Sirius admitted, flushing.
Hem, and why do you think that is?
Sirius's mind was racing, distracted by Remus's plump, tempting lips, close enough to kiss. He let out a shocked gasp when Remus pinched both of his nipples at once. The pleasure was sharper, more intense than usual, jolting his whole body. His hips kicked involuntarily, dragging a moan from his throat.
Oh, that's...
Remus flicked over the hardened nubs with his thumbs, and it was like they had been mainlined directly to everything below Sirius's waist. He felt his cock twitch and leak, felt slick soaking his underwear.
God, fuck.
Remus released him, leaving Sirius grateful and regretful at once.
Tell me.
You.
Sirius thunked his head back against the doorframe.
God, I don't know, Mooney. I'm not good with words like you.
It's because I saved you, Pads.
Remus murmured.
Because you knew, then, that I'd do anything to protect you.
He splayed a hand heavily over Sirius's stomach.
that I'd destroy anyone, or anything, to keep you both safe.
Yes,
Sirius hissed. He couldn't hold back anymore. He reached for Remus, huffing in frustration when he drew back.
Hey, no, you want me to take care of you? Then let me, trust me.
I do trust you,
Sirius said roughly.
I fucking love you.
Remus smiled, the corners of his eyes crinkling with it, a sweet chink in his otherwise seductive exterior.
And I love you. Will you let me show you how much? Can you be good and still for me?
Sirius wasn't sure. He didn't think so. He had never been passive. Even when Remus was at his most dominant, Sirius was always reaching, searching, trying to get this or that or more. His inability to sit around and wait for things to happen had gotten him into a lot of trouble in the past. Still, he wanted to try. He wanted to do his best for Remus. He settled back against the frame, resting his arse against the backs of his hands. Remus nodded, satisfied. Then he dropped to his knees.
Oh fuck.
Sirius breathed. Remus took Sirius's shoes off for him, then stripped him without ceremony, pulling his trousers and underwear down to his ankles. Sirius shivered as the air kissed him everywhere he was wet. The precum smeared over his stomach, the leaking head of his cock, the slick that had gathered in the cleft of his arse and was now dribbling slowly down his thighs. That was unusual, too. Sirius didn't usually get this wet when he wasn't in heat. Remus noticed, too. Sirius felt the air change, saw his golden eyes darken to a rich umber as they raked over Sirius's body, settling on that salacious collection of flesh between his legs. Though Remus was the one on his knees, it was Sirius who felt vulnerable. Remus was still dressed in his smart shirt and trousers, his slicked back hair mostly neat even after his tussle with Lucius. It made everything seem obscener somehow, especially with Sirius's straining cock bobbing inches from Remus's face.
I need to look after you,
Remus said lowly, sliding his hands up Sirius's thighs until they rested on his hips.
And I need to know you'll let me. I want you to give it all up to me now, sweetheart. Surrender to me entirely. Do you think you can do that?
I want to,
Sirius said, heart thudding.
I'll try.
Remus nodded slowly.
I know you can.
He wrapped a hand around the base of Sirius's cock, pulling it away from his stomach. He held Sirius's eyes as he leant in and mouthed at the tip, licking eagerly around the head, like he was chasing the taste of him. Sirius bit his lip. It was almost too much already. He tightened his fingers around the doorframe as Remus took him slowly into his hot, wet mouth, trembling against the urge to shove his hips forward and grab Remus's hair. He couldn't resist pushing a little when he felt the tender head of his cock nudge into the tight clutch of Remus's throat, but as quick as it came, it was gone.
Sirius,
Remus said warningly.
Relax, just let it happen.
He took Sirius in again, easing into a slow, steady rhythm. His free hand rested heavily on Sirius's hip, a reminder. But Sirius wasn't sure how he was supposed to relax when Remus was so fucking good at this, cradling the underside of his cock with his tongue, swallowing the entirety of it on every stroke. When Sirius had the sight of Remus's gorgeous lips stretched red and wet around him, sliding down to meet those elegant fingers again and again. When his body already felt strung tight and ready for release, screaming at him to chase it down. He tilted his head back, closing his eyes. It made it easier to focus only on the sensations he was feeling, and with them, that primal need to satisfy his mate. Remus wanted Sirius willingly helpless, and trusting his pleasure entirely to him. He wanted to know Sirius could be good. And Sirius wanted to be good, wanted Remus to have that. Because Remus deserved the world. Remus would defy the world and everybody in it, if it kept Sirius safe. If it kept their child, God, their child, safe. A kind of calm settled over Sirius at the thought. It wasn't dissimilar to the blessed relief he would feel when he was out of his mind with heat, and Remus finally buried himself inside of him. Or that almost spiritual satisfaction of being knotted and wrapped in Remus's arms. He was still desperately horny, but less frantic now he was able to focus on the immutable fact that Remus would take care of him, as he always did. He wasn't sure how long it was before he felt Remus pull off again. The cool air stung his wet cock. It was heavy and aching, thrumming with his blood. He needed it back in Remus's mouth. But then there was a gentle hand cupping his balls, fingertips curling underneath to rub at that soaked, swollen place behind them, and all attention and desire within him coalesced severely there instead. He instinctively spread his legs further apart, high notes riding his breasts when Remus dipped a fingertip inside him, but he didn't try to hurry him.
Good,
Remus murmured, making Sirius flush.
That's very good, darling. Can you get on the bed for me? Hands and knees.
Sirius obediently started to move, but Remus rose to his feet with a
hang on.
He pushed the shirt from Sirius's shoulders, letting it drop to the floor. Sirius had forgotten he was even wearing it.
There we go.
Sirius's skin prickled. He was entirely naked now, while Remus was still dressed. He moved as quickly as he could on his mildly unsteady legs, avoiding looking at Remus. He suspected he might spiral again otherwise. He crawled up onto the bed, settling next to his discarded robe. The mattress dipped behind him as Remus followed, then Sirius felt a hand between his shoulder blades, applying gentle pressure.
Present for me, Remus requested.
Sirius exhaled shakily as he sunk down onto his elbows, letting his weight slump onto his chest. Remus never asked for this when he wasn't moon drunk, which meant he never asked for it at all, so it was strange for Sirius to put himself so calmly in this position. It made him feel terribly, deliciously exposed, back sharply arched, hips tilted up, arse spread open for Remus's eyes. Like this, he was acutely aware of how wet he was, especially when Remus's hands fanned out over his cheeks, spreading them even further apart.
Look at you,
Remus said, voice thick with lust. Sirius felt a thumb swiping up through the slick dribbling over his taint, circling wetly around his hole.
So wet and ready, you're doing so well, being so good for me.
Sirius whimpered happily, greedy for the praise. He jerked at the first touch of Remus's tongue, panting already. It followed the path Remus's thumb had set, pressing thick and flat behind his balls and dragging slowly up his cleft. Remus hummed as he settled into a languid rhythm, licking over him again and again. Sirius's hole was quickly oversensitive from the rasp of Remus's beard against his skin, the saliva smearing through his own wetness, making him tremble with every stroke. He sucked a breath when Remus focused his attention there, tracing the twitching rim with the tip of his tongue. Then there were thumbs on either side of it, pulling Sirius open, and Remus's tongue was fucking in and out of him. Sirius moaned brokenly. This always felt incredible, so filthily intimate. Remus made no secret of his own enjoyment, rumbling low and satisfied in his throat, like Sirius was the best thing he'd ever tasted. It made Sirius feel so desired, so claimed and kept by him. He could feel his body yielding to it, welcoming the intrusion, but it was still an inadequate imitation of what he really needed. This position always intensified the need to be filled, and his unnatural passivity was only making it worse. Sirius whined as his body began to shake, like it was confused why they weren't writhing and demanding more.
Hush, it's all right,
Remus soothed, his breath hot against the base of Sirius's spine. Sirius heard the click of a belt and shook again, reeling with anticipation.
I have to make love to you now, darling. I just can't resist anymore. You're just too beautiful, taste too good.
Remus straightened up, then Sirius felt the heavy length of his cock smacking wetly against his hole, rubbing back and forth in his sodden cleft. His voice broke.
Fuck, please. Please.
Remus shushed him again.
You don't have to beg. You've earned this. You've been such a good boy for me. I'm so proud of you.
Mooney.
Sirius's heart swelled, then raced as he felt the thick, blunt head of Remus's cock pushing against him. There was a beat of resistance before his body gave, and then Remus was sliding into him, slow and slick and huge. Sirius groaned, biting hard on the sheets. He was dying for it, opening readily for it, but Remus's cock was so big the stretch always bordered on painful, at first.
There you go,
Remus breathed. He held still after his hips met Sirius's arse, stroking the sweat-damp dip of his lower back, making low, encouraging noises.
Perfect. You always take me so well.
Strangely, that got to Sirius more than anything else. Even in such a primal position, Remus was still caring for him, loving him. When those soothing hands moved to Sirius's hips and became firm, holding him still as he began to move, Remus thrust shallowly, angling immediately for Sirius's prostate. As though he couldn't abide a single moment where Sirius wasn't feeling pure pleasure. The last threads of tension quickly faded as Sirius's body settled around Remus's cock. Soon he felt horribly empty without it, lamenting each withdrawal and craving each push inside before it came. He wanted to shove his arse back against Remus's thrusts, force him to go deeper, harder. Instead, he sprawled his thighs further apart, squeezed his eyes shut, and accepted everything Remus gave him.
That's it, Remus purred. Just like that, love. Just take it.
Like he had read Sirius's mind, Remus stopped holding back then, fucking into him faster with the full length of his cock. A shocked moan was ripped from Sirius's throat, orgasm coiling abruptly in his gut. He could do nothing but let it relentlessly build, shoulders hunching as his hands twisted in the sheets. Remus's fingers were hard anchors around his hips now, pulling him back into each thrust. It made things feel deliciously dirtier. Sirius thrilled at the slap of their skin, the obscene squelching sound coming from where their bodies were joined. The way the fabric of Remus's trousers was rough against his thighs, reminding him he was bare, and exposed, and entirely at Remus's mercy. He felt Remus bend over him, stroking a hand through the hair that had escaped from its tie.
You're going to come for me,
Remus told him breathlessly. The hand lingered heavily on the nape of Sirius's neck, like a promise.
You're going to come on my cock, just like this.
Sirius could only make a sound of acknowledgement, because it wasn't like he had a choice in the matter. Remus was the master of his body right now, and it would do as he willed it. He could feel Remus's knot starting to swell, the heat inside him spiking every time it caught on the rim of his hole, dragging over his prostate, until Sirius couldn't see with how close he was. His cock was throbbing where it hung heavily between his legs, drooling sticky strands of white onto the sheets. He felt himself encased in abrupt warmth as Remus's arms snaked around him.
This is mine, Sirius,
Remus panted in his ear, sounding suddenly desperate.
Only I do this to you. Only I hold you, love you, make you come. I'm going to keep you safe forever, sweetheart. My beautiful, precious boy. Nobody hurts you. Nobody gets you. You're mine.
He splayed a hand over Sirius's stomach, voice cracking.
You're both mine.
Remus.
Sirius was thoroughly unprepared for the wave of emotion that crashed over him. He fumbled a hand down to cover Remus's, guts swooping beneath their interlaced fingers.
Yours. Only ever yours.
Remus moaned against Sirius's neck, losing his rhythm. He pushed deep and stilled there, hips rutting flush and frantic against Sirius's arse. His mouth closed around Sirius's scar, scraping it with his teeth, and Sirius was coming over the sheets even before Remus's knot finished swelling inside him. He heard himself making thick, strangled noises as his body clenched hard around it, as the jerks of their hips tugged it against his tender hole, drawing out his orgasm until he was hoarse and shaking, his knees barely supporting him anymore. When he came to, Remus's chest was flush against his back, his shirt stuck to Sirius's skin, and he was panting into Sirius's hair as his cock pulsed inside him. Sirius's heart soared as he registered the warmth filling him. It didn't seem to matter that he knew he was already pregnant. That primal satisfaction overwhelmed him just the same. He choked out a plea as his body threatened imminent bonelessness.
Hold on,
Remus mumbled. His weight receded, then Sirius heard the rustle of fabric, a soft thump on the carpet. When Remus returned, his chest was fantastically bare.
All right, ready.
Sirius grunted his assent. Remus lowered them carefully to the mattress, then turned them on their sides, cradling Sirius against his chest. Sirius could still feel the rasp of tweed against his legs, but Remus seemed to be ignoring it. presumably because he didn't want to risk injuring one or both of them by trying to get his trousers all the way off. Sirius didn't care anyway. He wriggled back into Remus's hot, sticky embrace, clenching around his knot, smiling as they shared a gasp. God, he felt so good, so full. So right. Nothing would ever feel as right as this, Sirius thought. Remus inside him, around him, everywhere. He sighed happily as Remus nosed at the back of his neck, inhaling him, chest vibrating against Sirius's back as he rumbled with satisfaction.
That was amazing,
Remus purred after they had caught their breath.
You were amazing. You did so well. I knew you could.
Yeah,
Sirius said, cheeks still warm.
Kinda drove me mental, giving up like that, but it felt good.
It's good for you to know you can,
Remus said.
You know I love your fire, Pads. I'd never want you to lose it. But if today proved anything, it's that it might be better to let me look after you, sometimes.
His palms slid gently back to Sirius's belly. Sirius exhaled.
I am sorry about.
Hush, it's okay now.
I meant what I said. About being responsible.
I know, love. You're going to be brilliant.
We are,
Sirius said. He tangled their fingers together again. Remus squeezed him tighter in response, holding him with a fierce sort of reverence that had Sirius's eyes threatening to water.
Love you, Mooney.
I love you too,
Remus whispered.
Very, very much.
Sirius practically purred, floaty with contentment. He wanted to stay like this for the foreseeable future, but before long Remus's cock started to soften. The first thing Sirius did after it slipped out of him was make Remus lose the trousers, rendering them both blissfully naked. Annoyingly, Remus chose then to remember his fussy side. Sirius indulged it briefly, letting him up to gather the suit pieces together and charm the sheets clean, but then he was tugging him back into bed. Since they had spent such an embarrassingly short time at the fundraiser, there was no rush to go and pick up Harry. They laid there for a while, limbs tangled together, scenting each other lazily. It wasn't something they were often able to do, what with a kid running around, and it was wonderful. Sirius felt about ready to take a nap when anxiety flared unexpectedly in his chest.
You're not worried about Lucius, are you?
No.
Not at all.
No,
Remus said firmly.
And you shouldn't be, either. He's all talk.
But what if he's not?
Sirius pressed.
Or what if some other evil twat at the ministry decides they have a problem with us? It could happen. Just look at all the shit they've given you.
He felt a spike of guilt then, remembering Remus's misgivings before they did this.
What if they try and take our kid?
They can try,
Remus said. Sirius shivered at his tone, but his apprehension grew.
I don't know, Mooney. Maybe I should have listened to you. You tried to tell me before, and I just dismissed you. Because I was just being fucking selfish, as usual.
Hey, no.
Remus made Sirius look at him.
Listen to me, nothing is going to happen to our child.
You don't know that. You even said.
That was before. Things have changed, remember. Now, nothing is going to happen, because I won't allow it. And neither will you.
He sounded so certain, so determined, that Sirius couldn't help but believe him.
Okay.
To his surprise, Remus smiled warmly.
What?
You're already worrying, being protective.
Yeah.
Remus kind of shrugged.
You're not the only one who likes that, apparently.
Sirius huffed a laugh.
Guess we might as well start stressing early.
He returned to Remus's arms, fatigue creeping back over him. Remus let him doze until it was time to pick up Harry, at which point he slipped quietly out of bed, pulling the covers over Sirius before he left. When Sirius awoke a little while later, it was dark in the bedroom, and he could hear Remus putting Harry to bed, Remus talking in warm, amused tones, and Harry laughing, burbling about whatever he'd been doing at Molly's. Sirius smiled as he drifted back to sleep. Finite. Thanks for listening to this text-to-speech podfic composed by Burning Aurora.